Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Welcome back for the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday, the 6th of January. Straight ahead, a conversation with David Maskey, Senior Research Fellow for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, on the religious affiliation of the new Congress. There's a survey out, and they're trying to compare in some ways the religious landscape among our representatives, our Congress, and the population in general. Some surprising results in there that some smaller groups tend to be better represented in Congress, sometimes by double, triple the amount of their percentage in the general population. And by and large, we got a Congress that may look an awful lot like the American people religiously, and maybe a little more religious than the American people. Because the largest group of quote-unquote religious groups in the United States lately, the largest and fastest growing, I'm sorry, I should say the fastest growing, not the largest, is unaffiliated, none of the above. And the last time I checked, I don't think there are any none-of-the-above politicians out there. You still can't run for any office practically and be a none-of-the-above at the national level. I began a conversation with David Maskey of the Pew Forum asking him whether or not there's a big difference between the 110th Congress and the 111th.
Small differences, of course. We saw quite a few members either retire or lose their races in November of last year. But no, it's by and large very similar to, in its overall makeup, to the last Congress.
How does Congress in general, this 111th, its religious makeup compare with the religious makeup of the U.S. population in general?
You know, it compares pretty well. I mean, I guess there are sort of two answers to that question. On a macro level, Congress pretty much does look like the rest of the country. It's still majority Protestant. Congress is, as is the country as a whole. It has about 30% of its members are Roman Catholic, and that compares to just less than a quarter of the American population is Catholic. So on these very larger sort of religious blocks, you know, there's quite a bit of similarity. There are, though, some interesting differences, especially when it comes to religious minorities. You know, there are only about 1.7% of the population of the country is Jewish, but 8%, over 8%, I should say, of the population of Congress, the members of Congress, are Jewish. And a whopping 13% of the Senate is Jewish. So there are 13 Jewish senators. So that's quite a substantial difference, you know, almost five times disparity between the population as a whole and the percentage of members of Congress when it comes to American Jews. Mormons are also a bit better represented in Congress than they are, in the nation as a whole. There, about 2.6% of Congress is Mormon, and only 1.7% of the country is Mormon. So, you know, we do see some differences. I also mentioned the Catholic difference. I think about 24% of the population of the country is Catholic, and about 30% of the membership of Congress is Catholic. So again, we do see some differences there. And possibly the most interesting difference is that, you know, one in six Americans now says that they are unaffiliated, that they do not affiliate with a particular religious tradition or religious denomination. That doesn't mean, by the way, that all those people are not religious. It just means that they are not attached to a particular church or other religious tradition. In Congress, that number is much lower. Only five members of Congress do not have a religious affiliation. And actually, we should also state that they don't have a public one. They may have a private one. They're just not willing to tell us what that affiliation is. And so, five members of Congress—that's less than 1% of the 535 people who serve in our national legislature on Capitol Hill between the House and the Senate. So there's a huge difference there. Now, we don't know, you know, we can't fully explain that disparity. And it's not for me to say whether, you know, members of Congress express or state a religious affiliation for political reasons or whether they do it because, because that is their religious identity, and that's part of who they are. But one other sort of interesting little side note on this question of affiliation and unaffiliation, you know, even the one member of Congress who has publicly stated that he does not believe in a supreme being, and that's Representative Pete Stark of California, even he has a religious affiliation. He's a Unitarian. So even the one atheist in Congress belongs to a church.
So while Pete Stark might in fact be an atheist by denying the existence of a supreme being, there are no official atheists in the 111th Congress.
I don't know if there is such a thing as official atheism, but Mr. Stark made some news. I think it was last year when he first stated this. But he does belong to a church. Even the atheist has a religion in Congress. By the way, Pete Stark is the only person in the history, at least that we know of Congress, who's publicly said that he doesn't believe in God.
What about Muslims in Congress? This, as a religious group, is a relative newcomer. What do we know there?
Yeah, there are two Muslims in Congress. They were both elected in the last Congress. One of them, Keith Ellison, was elected in the 2006 election, and he's an African American convert to Islam. And some of your listeners may recall he's a Democrat from Minnesota, by the way. He made a bit of a splash when he first was elected because he said he was going to take the oath of office, and he did take the oath of office on a Quran rather than a Bible, and this did bother some people. Now, in 2008, I believe it was in March, Ellison was joined by another African American convert to Islam, Andre Carson. He won a special election in Indiana that year to replace his grandmother, who had held that seat for quite a long time. And he's also, again, a Muslim. So two Muslim members of Congress. That still, by the way, is fewer. Their percentage, the Muslim percentage on Capitol Hill, is just slightly less than the total percentage of Muslims in America. That's about 0.6%, the total percentage in the U.S. population, and the two members make up only 0.4% of Congress. So in both cases, less than 1%. We're still talking about very small numbers here.
You may have mentioned this before. What is the largest Protestant denomination represented there by religious affiliation in the 111th?
Yeah, it's Baptist. And about 12.5% of the Congress is Baptist. That's not just Southern Baptist, although it's largely Southern Baptist. There are other Baptist denominations represented in that number, but it's mostly Southern Baptist. Interestingly, Baptists make up 17.2% of the American population, at least according to our very extensive and large demographic religious survey that we did late last year. So they're underrepresented. But most of the other major Protestant denominations, Methodists, who make up 10.7% of the Congress and only 6.2% of the national population, Presbyterians, who make up a little over 8% of the Congress but only 2.7% of the population, these are overrepresented. Most of these, I guess you'd call them more mainline Protestant groups. Even some of the groups that have very small representation in the country. I mean, only 1.5% of the American population is Episcopalian and Anglican, and yet they have about 7.1% of the slice of the congressional pie. We are talking about a substantial overrepresentation when it comes to some Protestant groups, and of course with Baptists, underrepresentation.
David Maskey is Senior Research Fellow for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, based in Washington, D.C. David, thank you very much for being our guest. We appreciate your time.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much.
And we do have the research on the religious affiliation of the 111th Congress under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin a 5-part weekly series with Scott Klusendorf on defending the pro-life position, not just the position of the pro-lifer, but defending life from beginning to end. A 5-part series begins tomorrow on Issues Etc. Think over the recent history. if only for the occupants of the White House and their religious affiliation. Jimmy Carter, Southern Baptist, didn't seem to matter that much. He might have been pretty consistent. After him, Ronald Reagan, Presbyterian Church USA, very liberal church body, conservative president. After him, George H.W. Bush, Episcopal Church USA, very liberal church body, more conservative president. Another liberal president, Bill Clinton, member of one of the most conservative church bodies in the United States, the Southern Baptist Convention. President George W. Bush, considered to be strongly affiliated with the religious right, his religious affiliation, a liberal church body, United Methodist Church. It just doesn't seem to matter very much where the politicians have their affiliation religiously on what they do and believe. It just doesn't seem to matter. But it should. The church that you join, and remember, our politicians are only as good as we are. They're only reflecting what it is the average person in the United States believes. If it doesn't matter to them, it probably doesn't matter to most of us, but it should. What your church believes is more important, believe it or not, than what your political party believes. Did you know that? The positions that you take by your affiliation with your church are of eternal consequence to you and to those around you. They're more important than your political views, your party affiliation. How is it that Americans sometimes take their political party affiliation more seriously than their church affiliation? They wouldn't be caught dead accidentally joining a political party wherein they disagree with most of what it believes, but they can go to churches where they don't agree with what the pastor teaches. They don't even know what their church teaches. It doesn't seem to matter, but it should. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.